Hey everyone, my name is Marian Rutkowski, and I'd like to welcome you to Madeira's very own literary podcast, created by Layla Kennington, Annabelle Stack, Megan Lang, and yours truly.
This is Megan Lang. This podcast delves into some of the big ideas explored in the art and writing published in Madeira's annual literary magazine, Gate.
Gate has been around since 1966, though it originally started out as a literary edition of The Spectator, Madeira's newspaper. It branched off to become the Gate we know and love today.
Should I sing it now?
Gate is the place to be, designing everything you'll be. Imagination is the key to a beautiful world for you and me. We know how annoyed you get in the library, you're so upset hearing us say submit to Gate at CMT. But it don't matter, cause in the end those sighs turn into gasps, don't pretend. And from a pretty little book you will see, appreciate that these copies are free. We can't wait to hear what you will see, learning about the quirks that make up you and me.
Here we have an interview with Katie Adler, May Hunt, and Sarah Kate Clark, last year's editors of Gate, where they talk about their experience working on the magazine and an inside look for the readers.
This was a publication that really celebrates writing in a way that is not always done, especially by students, especially short works.
It's a really good positive outlet, I've noticed, for a lot of people, you know, want to write but aren't super sure where to, you know, put their writing.
Gate's very different now than how it used to be. There's a lot more freedom, and it's more student-run. Mm-hmm. And that has its benefits, just because you can do pretty much whatever you want. And then the adult looked over your shoulder, and they're like, okay, that's good. And they can leave you alone for a while. And then you're just allow for your creativity just run free.
I feel like the only direction is up, because we've gotten so many new people who are just like freshmen, sophomores, juniors. They were surprised at how fun working for Gate is. I remember one of them was like, oh my god, I didn't know Gate was, like, so lit. And I'm like, yeah, Gate is pretty lit. I know a lot of people who, like, want to write about certain topics or want to submit their work anonymously but don't feel comfortable sending it to, like, a teacher. I feel like there's a level of comfort that comes with knowing it's, like, I think majority student-run.
Yeah.
The people who are going to be seeing your work and understanding it and consuming it are your peers.
Great talking to you guys. Here's to many, many more years of Gate.
Now this year's editor of Gate will talk about what Gate will be like this year.
It's hard to say exactly what direction I hope Gate goes in this year. I think Gate provides an incredible outlet for Madeira girls to express themselves through their writing and artwork, and I can only hope I continue seeing this happen. We're working really hard to make the magazine this year progressive and powerful to capture the vivacity of all the pieces and submissions we've received. The theme is going to be a little different than last year, and we hope to focus more on each individual piece rather than the overarching idea. We've all been working really hard together, and I know it's going to show in our final piece this year.
Gate submissions can come from anywhere, off the top of your head, from an elementary school notebook you just dug out of your closet, or even from your English classes this year. Don't be afraid that your piece isn't good enough. Just submit it. Gate isn't all about the paper submissions. It's also about displaying your reading skills by presenting works written by yourself or others. Many people do this when they attend Gate coffee houses that happen throughout the year, and they even do this in their own classes. A great example of this is the Poem of the Week presentations presented in the freshman classes.
This year, Ms. Meyer's freshman class has been working on the POW presentations, where students choose a published poem and present it in a way they feel conveys the meaning and artistry of the work. One group, consisting of Layla Kennington, Gabby Waxberg, Isabella Hahn, and Elizabeth Zukova, selected Maya Angelou's Phenomenal Woman, projecting the poem's themes of feminine confidence and strength. Today, we are sharing a recording of the group's performance and interviewing Layla.
I appreciate Maya Angelou because I think that she's a very amazing and, like, empowering person. Like, she's gone through a lot in her life, and that's cool to me. I think what drew her to me when I was younger was the fact that I really wanted to be a writer when I was younger, and she was that, you know, like, a successful Black female writer. My group and I, we wanted to do a poem that was feminist and empowering. It was very nice harassing people and just being like, hey, you're going to be in our presentation. You have no choice. And it was also fun to learn more about her life and include that in our presentation as well and convey like what we felt the poem meant to us. I don't really have a favorite line. I think it's mainly throughout the poem, just like the imagery she uses to describe herself and why people are drawn to her. And I think she uses really nice metaphors in it as well. I think the whole thing just works well together.
Pretty women wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to a fashion model size. But when I start to tell them,
they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips,
the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman.
Phenomenally phenomenal woman. That's me.
I walk into a room just as cool as you please. And to a man, the fellows stand or fall down on their knees.
Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees.
I say, it's a fire in my eyes.
And the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist, and the joy in my feet.
I'm a woman, phenomenally. Phenomenal woman, that's me.
Men themselves have wondered what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch
my inner mystery. When I try to show them, they say they still can't see. I say, it's in the arch of my back.
The sun of my smile, the ride of my breast, the grace of my style.
I'm a woman, phenomenally phenomenal woman, that's me.
Now you understand just why my head's not bowed. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud.
When you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say, it's in a click of my heels.
The bend of my hair, the palm of my hand, the need for my care.
'Cause I'm a woman.
Phenomenal woman. That's me.
Marguerite Annie Johnson Angelou, known as Maya Angelou, was American author, actress, screenwriter, dancer, poet, and civil rights activist, best known for her 1969 memoir, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, which made her the first nonfiction bestseller by an African-American woman. Throughout her career, Angelou was awarded over 50 honorary degrees and received many esteemed awards, including the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest civilian honor in the United States.
Welcome to the first Mad Lit reading, hosted by our literary magazine, Gate, and our newspaper, The Spectator. This is a series of readings from Madeira Girls to showcase their literary talents across a wide range of genres. We have for you this evening stories written by students that display a variety of styles, content, and emotions.
In the rolling hills of Virginia, the sky was open and we were endless. Wagon wheels rattled, weighed down by slick plastic bags of reds and yellows, both bags and wagon ready to burst, watching the sun filter in through the gaps between vibrant green leaves. Apples hung low on the trees, branches drooping with the weight, and the world felt like our own feast. It barely took a twist to take one of the apples off the tree here. Sometimes it only took a tap before one fell into my palm, riper than anything we could find back home. As my mother pulled the creaking wagon along another row of trees, we filled bag after bag until they bulged out, their handles hardly able to hold up the weight. This was a place for dreaming. Of imagining afternoons we would spend in the kitchen making pies and fritters and cakes weighing our kitchen counter down with the sweets. This was a place for nostalgia, where my mother told us stories of her grandmother's apple turnovers, where the memories outlived her. This was a place for singing and dancing in the wide open aisles between the trees, and for basking in the never-ending sun. This was a place to forget, if just for a moment, that we couldn't spend all our days here, and that we had to go back home. This was a place to rest, and this was a place to be endless.
She and I only ever traveled into the woods when we were together, and out there we reached the heart of the creatures' homes. They welcomed us into their woods like we were part of their marvelous family, even though we all knew that there was a big difference between us, like the moon giving way to the sun. We helped them fight evil in their woods, and they helped us free our boundless imaginations. Callie and I both had our group of invisible friends. Mine stayed with me for much longer than hers did, since I needed mine desperately when I started middle school. She used to come over a lot, and we ventured out into the woods and talked to trees, listened for any abnormal rustling of leaves or calls, and marveled at all the beasts that no one else could see but us. We silently accused our neighbors of working for the evil side and ran around the neighborhood on quest to save our friends from danger. Every time she came over, that was what we spent all of our time doing. I wish that we could go back and relive that golden time of our childhood together. In our story, the woods were protected by a border that would not last, and the forest was led by a large tree that would soon die due to the closed-minded people of our neighborhood. Kids would ride through the woods on their motorcycles, four-wheelers, and whatever else they had stored in their garage, and the exhaust from their dreadful machine slowly polluted the small rainwater channel that was in the middle and destroyed whatever was in their path. I could hear the roar of their engines when they rode through the woods late at night when I was in bed, and their joyous shrieks of thrill. My invisible friends could do nothing to protect their dying home, so we all sent up silent prayers to the Lord to protect their home and from those kids who had no idea what they were ripping away from us. When Callie and I would travel back there, we would see the dirty water with the metallic film of oil over the surface. We tried to protect it by stringing up construction tape to stop them from riding through there, only to come back next time to find it shredded and scattered on the ground. We kept trying to protect the channel and the trees around it, to the point where we knew that we could no longer shelter what was wild and had to leave it to the mercy of whatever fell upon it. They continued to drive through the forest, and every time we would go back, the water had receded a few more centimeters, like it was trying to pull back into the soil and protect itself from the onslaught of treacherous tires.
The sun, moon, wind, and birds spoke to me for the first time that day. My bare feet, pressing against the woven canvas after each bounce, I soared. The trampoline was only a reminder of safety when the wild wind rushed too fervidly towards me. But the higher I went, the closer I was to touching gold-painted skies that I had just recently dreamed about. I jumped as high as I could. The sun giggled with me as butterflies pranced around my stomach, and the crickets hummed when my jumping began to slow. At 11 years old, I had given secrets to the universe and all things good.
As well as the coffee houses that it hosts, Gate has held a few flash contests this school year. The point of these contests is to get everyone writing, and who knows, maybe your piece will win a prize, or even better, your very own page in Gate. For the first flash contest, we got many incredible pieces back from our community, and I'm here today to highlight two of them. The first one is a poem called Deliverance, written by Kelly Nance.
Deliver me from darkness, from ignorance. You may hold me here, brother. However, I will break free. I will dance in the same light you hide me from. Feel the light. Let it bathe your ignorance, your stupidity. From ignorance there is a darkness. However, tell me this, brother. When you tell me the world, I shall see. For when you teach me, you rid the dark and you give me the light. However, if you were not to give it to me, I will fight. However, how will I know that there to get light when I cannot see there is any? Hope, my brother. I will feel and hope that there is light, so I may fight to dance in the light. And many will tell me, I cannot do this, I don't want to do this, yet I want the light. For in the dark you may stub your toe, you know not where the turns are or where they are headed, for in the light you see everything. Since you have rid the dark, there are no longer large shadows here, brother. You will tell me there is something to know. So, however, I see your lies. While it may be dark, I can see your wicked smile. It illuminates just enough to see the bend, and through that bend I find some light. I carry the light in my eyes so I can see around the next turn. I will see that the more I know, the more I learn, the less darkness, the less ignorance, the more light. The more I can see. So, brother, while you hold me down, keeping light for yourself while I drown in the dark, I will rise higher than you. Ignorance will no longer prevent me. I shall learn, I shall thrive, I shall prosper. For from the darkness I was delivered, into the light I do go, I do stay.
Hi, my name is Kelly Nance. I'm a junior day student from Great Falls, Virginia, and I am the author of Deliverance. So the inspiration for Deliverance was actually a writing prompt in my freshman year poetry class with Dr. Ward. The theme was light, and I tend to write about darkness, dark themes. It was a sort of challenge of sorts to write a poem that incorporated light and light themes. Brother was really meant to be a placeholder and representative of, say, depression or past traumatic experiences. He's both a person and a concept that me and a lot of other people have experienced personally. I really wanted to write a piece that talked about light and was sort of empowering and uplifting to people.
The second extraordinary piece is a lesson that is written by Lauren Boutilla. One lesson that I've learned and applies to most of my life is, don't get too close to people, because there is a big chance that they will leave later on in life.
When I say leave, most people will associate that with a bad feeling, like a sense of abandonment from a dear friend or family member. But if you think of life as a path, which everyone has, that goes up, down, left, and right, you'll realize no two paths are the same, meaning there will be one day where you'll cross paths with somebody and later branch off from your temporarily conjoined path, then back into your own life path. Now, when I say don't get too close to somebody, it isn't to be confused with excluding and distancing yourself from everyone and living a very secluded life. That's not it at all. It's more of thinking about, if they were to leave tomorrow, would you be emotionally unstable? Would it take a long time to bounce back? Would you deprive yourself of happiness? If you answer yes to any of these, it's time you may want to change your mindset on life and friends. Having this mentality has helped me a lot when a friendship or relationship separates themselves, naturally or forced. Hopefully, it can help you too.
Hello, my name is Lauren Boutia. I'm a boarder from Herndon, Virginia, and I'm in 11th grade. It was mainly about the events that were happening in my life at that time. I was kind of going through a rough patch, so in order to compensate, I kind of just started writing. While I was writing it, I felt happy, so that's probably why I was writing something positive while I was going through a dark time.
What we hope you all learn from Gate is to not be afraid to have your voice be heard and to show off your true colors through the pages of our wonderful magazine. The submission season goes till February 9th, so get writing, everyone. Keep an eye out for our coffee houses that will be held throughout the rest of the year and other Gate-hosted events and challenges. I'm Mary Mutkowski, and this has been the Madeira School's very first literary podcast. As always, stay creative and go Gate!
Woo!